I am now pleased to introduce Ta-Hasi Tassi-Hill, Chairman of the United Nations, who will address the members from the clerk's podium. Please step forward.
Good afternoon, and Yaonko. Thank you, Speaker Voss, for that introduction. Dehasidazi niungyats, wageskleiwagi niugita loora, okale onyotaaga niwa hunjoda, okale dalunkawan dwatnage. My name is Dehasidazi. I am of the Bear Clan, and my nation is known as the people of the Standing Stone. I come from a place of bountiful ducks. Yaonko to Speaker Voss for hosting us today, and also Governor Evers, Lieutenant Governor Barnes, Majority Leader Steinicke, Assembly Minority Leader Hintz, Senate President Roth, Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald, Senate Minority Leader Schilling, members of the legislature, Honorable Supreme Court Justices, Attorney General Call, State Treasurer Godlewski, and all the cabinet secretaries. Yaonko to our veteran color guard for raising our colors today, and also Yaonko to our intertribal drum as the singers from various tribes who sang in our colors today, and a special thank you to our future leaders. We are so proud of you, Kaylee Schuyler and Caleb Aguirre, who shared our Oneida Thanksgiving address. On behalf of the Oneida Nation and the Great Lakes Intertribal Council, I am humbled and honored today to represent Wisconsin's tribal nations in delivering the 2019 State of the Tribes Address. Before we begin, I would like to thank my family, the business committee, and the Oneida community for supporting me in representing our nation. Yaonko. Now I'd like to take the time to introduce my fellow tribal leaders. Would you please stand as I say your name and remain standing? President Hosley of the Stockbridge Muncie community. Chairman Wiggins Jr. of the Bad River Lake Superior Tribe of Chippewa Indians. On behalf of Chairman Cox, Tribal Secretary Pershing Frigette of the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin. President Cleveland of Ho-Chunk Nation. Chairman Daniels of the Forest County Potawatomi community. On behalf of Chairman Magishik, Tribal Council Member Carmen Magishik of the Skagen Chippewa community. Chairman Taylor of the Lucuderay Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians of Wisconsin. President Wildcat of the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. On behalf of Chairman Taylor, the Intergovernmental Relations Specialist, Michael DeCor of the St. Croix Chippewa Indians of Wisconsin. And lastly, Chairman Peterson of Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. Please join me in applauding our tribal leadership. Thank you. Wisconsin tribal nations have a long and proud history of working hard to provide for our communities and protecting our resources and fostering goodwill by building alliances and friendships with one another. Yonko to all that you do for your people, our communities, and the state of Wisconsin. Just as if we have worked to build these alliances and friendships amongst one another, we also have built strong relationships with the state of Wisconsin. Our flags displayed in the rotunda symbolizes the mutual respect between the state and our tribal nations and reminds us of our common ground as civil servants. Lastly, I would like to give special recognition to our elders and ancestors. Yonko, for paving the path for us, your sacrifice has afforded us many opportunities. You showed us what it truly means to have a strong fire. It is because of you we stand here today in the state capitol celebrating our relationships and cultures. It is with this eye on the past that I turn to my fellow tribal leaders with encouragement to persevere with good minds, a good heart, and a strong fire, to light the path for those who follow us. I started today's address by proudly sharing information about significant positive impacts our tribal nations have on Wisconsin's economy. Last May, Oneida Nation partnered with St. Norbert's College Center for Economic and Business Analysis to quantify our economic impact on the local economy. The study found that Oneida Nation contributes $750 million to and provides 5,465 jobs within Brown and Outagamie counties. The nation's economic impact has increased roughly $300 million since our last study conducted in 2006. Further, according to the Greater Green Bay Chamber, Oneida Nation is the third largest employer in our area. While not all Wisconsin tribes have pursued economic impact studies, the results of Oneida's study are replicated in each tribal community in varying degrees. It is clear Wisconsin tribal nations stimulate the economies of their regions through job creation, economic and enterprise development. At the state level, Wisconsin tribal nations contributed over $53 million to the state pursuant to our gaming compacts. Offering so much more than gaming, our tribal nations partner with the state to promote tourism to our tribal communities and the state of Wisconsin through NATAW, the Native American Tourism of Wisconsin. NATAW promotes tourism featuring Native American heritage and culture. Wisconsin is a hub for Native tourism as it has the largest concentrations of tribes east of the Mississippi River. Yonko to NATAW, their efforts stimulate the local and state economies and help our nations tell our own histories and share our cultures. Yonko to the state and the Wisconsin Department of Tourism for its continued support of NATAW. It is clear that while Wisconsin tribal nations move forward with our own visions of strong communities and growth, the success of tribal nations translates to the success of the state of Wisconsin. Our self-governance and goals for self-sustainability both points of pride for our nation and benefits to the state. When our tribal nations focus on providing services like education, healthcare, social services, and housing in our communities, we alleviate the pressure placed on similar programs being offered by the state and local governments. For example, Oneida Nation operates a kindergarten through 12th grade school system. Oneida's economic impact study showed our school relieves local school districts of nearly $6 million in education costs. Over the years, the economic growth of Wisconsin tribal nations has resulted in positive changes for our people. When comparing the most recent U.S. Census data to that of 1990, the unemployment rate for Native Americans in Wisconsin decreased from 17.1% to 9.9%. The median household income more than doubled from approximately $17,000 to $39,000. The family poverty rate decreased from 32.5% to 23.9%. I applaud the Wisconsin tribal nations for the strides we have made and continue to make in self-governance and self-sustainability. While there is much to be celebrated, we still have work to do. Native Americans in Wisconsin continue to trail behind the general public in many critical areas. Our unemployment rate is doubled when compared to the rest of Wisconsin residents. Our median household income is 70% of the median income of all households in the state. Our poverty rate is almost three times of all Wisconsin families. We are here today in the spirit of collaboration, with a strong desire to find solutions to common problems which will improve the lives of our people. Our presence here represents a willingness to learn from one another and to work together to overcome challenges. In my home, we live by the slogan, teamwork makes the dream work. Regardless if you stand here today as a member of the Wisconsin legislature or here as a tribal leader, we're all here to make better lives for our constituents by creating opportunities and building safe and healthy communities. Our diversity is an asset in reaching new solutions, and I'm proud to be a part of this team. A good example of our teamwork is a special study committee on state-tribal relations. Each biennium, the Wisconsin Legislature, through a joint legislative council, convenes a special committee on state-tribal relations. This committee works towards legislative fixes to issues related to Native Americans and Wisconsin tribal nations. I extend our appreciation to the Wisconsin State Legislature for its continued support of this government-to-government approach. I also commend the following legislators for the serving in the 2018 State-Tribal Relations Committee. Representative Jeff Mersaw, Chairman. Representative James Edmund. Representative Dave Considine. Former State Senator and Vice Chair Kathleen Weinhaupt. Senator Jerry Petrowski. Senator Janet Bewley. Senator Tim Carpenter. And Senator Lena Taylor. Yonko, for your leadership and service and commitment to this cooperative effort. In March, the State Tribal Relations Committee recommended six proposals, which the Joint Legislative Council unanimously voted to introduce as new legislation. Five of the six proposals submitted by the State Tribal Relations Committee are focused on updating Wisconsin's Indian education statutes. One proposal I would like to highlight is Act 31. Act 31 is existing law which requires all public school districts and pre-service education programs to provide instruction on tribal history, culture, and sovereignty. The importance of this legislation reaches outside of the classroom into Wisconsin homes, where it has the power to break stereotypes. We can only move forward when we have an accurate understanding of our past and the continued survival of our cultures today. For too many generations, children have learned about Native Americans as relics of the past to be studied in museum exhibits. Our kids learn together, they play together, and they grow together. Our amendments to Act 31 must teach that we, as Native people, are alive, vibrant, and thriving. Our cultures are alive, vibrant, and thriving. On behalf of all tribes here today, we ask the state legislature to move this newly introduced bill forward. Another legislative focus important to Wisconsin tribal nations is eliminating the use of Indian mascots, logos, and nicknames in educational facilities supported by the state of Wisconsin. As of last month, there were still 31 Wisconsin public schools using Indian mascots, logos, and/or nicknames. The use of Indian imagery stereotypes and dehumanizes our cultures and Native American people for the sake of entertainment. Furthermore, it encourages racist and vulgar behavior in the name of school spirit, which is both socially and academically detrimental to all children. I would like to take this time to thank the Wisconsin Indian Education Association and the Indian Mascot and Logo Task Force for their volunteer work on this very important issue. On behalf of Native American students and public school systems, I ask this team to introduce new legislation which shares the Wisconsin Indian Education Association motto, "Teach respect, not racism. Indians are people, not mascots." As related to teaching and sharing our culture, I now share with you our responsibility to Mother Earth. As we have heard emphasized in today's Thanksgiving address, the Wisconsin tribal nations work to protect and enhance what the Creator has placed, was provided, and always consider how our actions impact the next seven generations. When fulfilling our responsibility to the land, to the plants, and the animal life, we make our Mother Earth healthier, greener, and more beautiful. I turn my discussion now to topics where the Wisconsin tribal nations and the Wisconsin legislature can collaborate concerning Mother Earth, environmental protection, food sustainability, and chronic wasting disease. As a people, we cannot survive without Mother Earth, for without her land, there is no life, no human life, no plant life, no animal life. Environmental protection has always been a cornerstone of Native life and culture. Just last year, several nations stood in solidarity with the Menominee Nation in their lawsuit opposing the proposed Back 40 mine. It is well known that the impacts of mining activities are widespread and permanent. The proposed mine would sit a mere 150 feet from the banks of the Menominee River. This river forms the boundary between Wisconsin and the Upper Michigan and flows into Lake Michigan. The environmental risks to the Menominee River, adjacent lands, and the Great Lakes from the inevitable acid mine drainage is unacceptable. The Menominee Nation has a sovereign right to protect their sacred place of origin and cultural resources threatened by the Back 40 mine, as do other tribal nations in the opposition of metallic mineral mining. As do other tribal nations in opposition to metallic mineral mining, such as the Lynn Mine, which threatens other treaty rights. Our tribal collaboration is a perfect example of commitment to our brothers and sisters to persevere and protect our environment for future generations. Protecting high-quality environmental resources and repairing damage is not a political policy. It is a responsibility. We have obligations to protect the precious water resources. We have an obligation to protect our precious water resource. Water is life. As you know, the United States EPA has proposed revisions to the Clean Water Act's definition of water, which, if adopted, would narrow the waters that are federally protected. We ask for your support in ensuring that more, not less, of our waters are protected under this act. The impacts of the proposed narrowing of the protection could be devastating to Wisconsin waters and tribal rights. With less federal protection of Wisconsin waters, there will be less permitting, more pollution, and reduction in tribal water quality standards. This is the time to strengthen, not weaken our resolve to a clean and safe environment. Furthermore, I call on Wisconsin to stand on the forefront of climate change discussions. Native people have called Wisconsin home for thousands of years. As a result of global warming and its effect on the environment, we could lose essential hunting, fishing, and gathering cultural practices, also affecting our treaty rights. Heavy rainstorms are more frequent, and they increase the risk of flooding, which means more pollutants running from the land to water. Increased pollutant runoff potentially causes the development of more algal blooms that are already more likely due to the increased water temperatures. Algal blooms are unsightly and harm fish and degrade water quality by creating dead zones in our life-sustaining water. We are experiencing more extreme temperatures and hotter days than ever before. The ice cover on Great Lakes is forming later and melting sooner. The shorter and warmer winters threatens Wisconsin tourism for Wisconsin recreation like ice fishing, snowmobiling, skiing, snowboarding, which many of our brothers and sisters to the north rely upon to support their communities. The hotter days risk public health, especially in urban areas, and wreak havoc on the corn harvest our nations rely upon in working to become food sovereigns. Also, the changing climate inevitably shifts our ecosystems. It affects the range of plants and animal life, from which affects the composition of our north woods, our fish, our bird populations, when flowers bloom, and when animals reproduce. In 2007, Wisconsin created a global warming task force with the goal to make Wisconsin a leader in the implementation of solutions to address climate change. This is a real national emergency. Now is the time for Wisconsin to confront the threat as a national leader. I call on Wisconsin to work with our tribal communities to breathe new life into the Global Warming Task Force. Our existence, as we know it, relies upon our action. It is only when we have healthy lands and waters that we may grow healthy life upon them. As Native nations, we are dedicated to food sovereignty and restoring the abundance of our traditional foods. One example of food sovereignty is farm-to-table initiatives. These initiatives focus on building food economy that promotes a healthier lifestyle for our children and families. Agricultural sustainability stems from thousands of years of growing and sustaining our natural foods. Wisconsin tribal nations are fortunate to have preserved heirloom seeds, wild rice beds, fish, fowl, and game. We have orchards, gardens, and fish hatcheries, and have explored aquaponics as ways to sustain our food chain. Recently, we have worked with the state of Wisconsin to take another step toward food sovereignty. We now grow foods which are traditional to our culture and help us feed our tribal members through congregate meal sites and programs such as Meals on Wheels. While food sovereignty is the target for our nations, we want even more. We want our orchards, gardens, and hatcheries to be the local choice. I propose developing a joint agricultural marketing initiative between the state and Wisconsin tribal nations. Wisconsin would benefit from state tribal committee, which would promote tribal communities as food hubs for people to buy local. The Iroquois have a story of the three sisters, corn, beans, and squash, who only grow and thrive when together. Similar to the connectivity of the three sisters and any approach to environmental sustainability and food sovereignty would be lacking if we did not also recognize our responsibility to protect the animal life. Chronic wasting disease, more commonly known as CWD, is an unprecedented threat to Wisconsin's deer population. Native families rely on deer as a cultural food source, but the deer population is important as sustenance both nutritionally and economically to all of Wisconsin. Further, tourism officials indicate hunting is a $1 billion industry in Wisconsin. As CWD continues to spread on deer farms and hunting ranches in Wisconsin, the state's responsibility must be immediate, or we will risk losing our deer culture and economy. Just as we leverage science for solutions to other issues we face, we need to support research to further answer vital questions about CWD. More studies are needed to fully understand the spread of CWD, the best ways to contain the spread, and the risks of consuming infected meat. To protect all of our families, Wisconsin Tribal Nations urge the state to act swiftly to contain the spread of CWD through four fronts. 1, require more responsible deer farming practices. 2, require proper disposal and treatment of infected deer and carcasses. 3, provide fast and free testing of all harvested animals. And 4, most importantly, provide a greater investment in additional research related to CWD. It is through this call to science I ask Wisconsin to maintain its progressive approach under the state motto to continue forward to protect and maintain the health and well-being of our land, plant life, and animal life for the benefit of all human life. We work to build a healthy and strong environment, knowing it will enable us to have healthy and strong minds and bodies. Having addressed some of the environmental challenges, I want to address the health disparities of our people through the discussion on healthcare, substance abuse, and adequate and affordable housing. Wisconsin Tribal Nations face a disproportionate amount of health disparities when compared to the general public. Data collected by the National Indian Health Board demonstrates Indians in Wisconsin have nearly twice the rate of health disparities than all other races. For example, the diabetes rate is 2, sometimes 3 times higher in tribal communities. The substance abuse rate is 6 to 8 times higher than the general population. Just like Wisconsin, our tribal leadership wants to ensure our communities have access to quality health care. However, Wisconsin Tribal Nations continue to face challenges with the state in ensuring. Wisconsin Tribal Nations continue to face challenges with the state in efforts surrounding Medicaid, Medicaid waivers, and the general approach to health care overall. One of the challenges underlying understanding the basis of a healthcare system and how our tribal healthcare systems are different. The United States has a long-standing legal obligation to provide for the healthcare of American Indians that dates back to the founding of the Republic. In exchange for the vast tracts of land and resources by tribal nations, the United States entered into treaties that require the United States provide for the health and welfare of Native people. Those obligations still exist today. The Indian Healthcare Improvement Act, Congress declared it is the policy of this nation to fulfill its special trust responsibility and legal obligations to Indians to ensure the highest possible health status for Indians and urban Indians to promote and to provide all resources necessary to affect that policy. Unfortunately, the United States has not yet reached this goal as several federal reports conclude Indian health system continues to be dramatically underfunded and Native Americans continue to have some of the lowest health status indicators in the United States. To demonstrate this underfunding, a report published by the Government Accountability Office showed total annual spending for Natives using the Indian health services is only $3,688 per year, as compared to the federal prisoner who receives $5,500 per year and the national average of $9,523 per year. With that $6,000 gap in spending between Native Americans and the national average, it is obvious the United States continues to fall short in its obligations to Native people. Because of the Indian Health Service funding shortfalls, Indian Health System has to rely on other funding sources to keep our clinics open. By far, our most important source of third-party revenue is Medicaid. Wisconsin tribal nations continue to strongly support full Medicaid expansion in the state. Moving to full Medicaid expansion would provide coverage for an estimated additional 5,700 tribal citizens in the state. This would result in an additional $38 million in federal health care resources coming into Indian Health System, all of that at minimal to no cost to the state of Wisconsin. Under federal law, the United States pays 100% of the cost of Medicaid services received through Indian Health System. This is known as the Federal Medical Assistance Expenditures, or FMAP. We would like to continue working with the state to increase health coverage and lower costs through the Medicaid program. Wisconsin tribal nations and the state of Wisconsin have a unique opportunity to do just that. CMS recently changed its policy to allow states to receive 100% FMAP funding not just for services received in tribal health facilities, but also services to Indians provided by outside health care providers. If tribal health care programs implement the change, the state of Wisconsin could receive significant increase in federal Medicaid reimbursement. If done correctly, the change in policy could result in a win-win for Wisconsin tribal nations and the state of Wisconsin. Another challenge we face and strongly oppose are the work requirements in Medicaid as a condition of eligibility. While tribes support full employment for all our members, Medicaid work requirements create disincentives for recipients within the tribal health care system. Instead, work requirements will cause many, if not all, of our members to drop out of Medicaid. This will mean less federal money available for us to provide health care for our people. We are already underfunded and cannot accept any more cuts. Work requirements also are inconsistent with the United States trust and treaty obligation to provide health care for our people and inconsistent with the goals of Medicaid statute. The Medicaid work requirements are also a prime example of how the state's health care policies are directly impacting tribal health systems and our access to quality care in our communities. With that, the Wisconsin tribal nations asked the state to take a hard look at Medicaid expansion. We ask for continued commitment to collaborate with tribes to increase care while reducing costs in our tribal communities. We appreciate the efforts of the Wisconsin Department of Health leadership in learning about our tribal health systems and working to develop solutions to these issues. The opioid epidemic represents one of the greatest public health threats in the modern era, having devastating impacts on all of our communities and families throughout the entire country. Nationally, the drug overdose death rate of American Indians and Alaska Natives has exceeded the general population every year since 2001. In 2017, American Indians and Alaska Natives had the highest rate of drug overdose deaths of any race in Wisconsin at almost three times the rate of the general population. Substance abuse is often an attempt to avoid painful feelings through self-medication. So it would be no surprise that the opioid crisis has roots in historical and intergenerational trauma for our communities. Tribal communities, social workers, psychiatrists, and many other professionals recognize how historical trauma has far-reaching effects across generations as it can negatively impact emotional, social, physical, and spiritual well-being. Our language and culture continues to be passed down generation to generation. So have the long-lasting consequences of our ancestors enduring a succession of traumatic events. Forced relocation, attempted genocide, and children forcibly removed from homes and placed in boarding schools are examples of mass group trauma we are working to heal. We know our people are resilient. We will fight every day to support our families and find solutions to prevent this opioid epidemic from moving to our future generations. The opioid epidemic is a national crisis, and our tribal nations cannot combat this alone. We are grateful to the state of Wisconsin, along with our federal and local partners, are assisting in current efforts to address this crisis. One crucial component is Native American Drug and Gang Initiative, also known as NAGI. NAGI is one of the first law enforcement initiatives focused entirely on Native American communities and the specific threat to respond to illegal drug distribution, criminal gang activities, and all associated crime and victimization. Tribal communities face an alarming increase in diverted narcotic medications, heroin, fentanyl, and methamphetamine. The use of illegal drugs has a direct correlation to the increase in crimes such as domestic violence, human trafficking, child abuse and neglect, burglary, theft, and other violent crimes. The effects aren't just criminal, they also tie into mental health issues and erode family and communities. In the face of these threats, tribal governments, law enforcement, community members, and NAGI are collectively working on multiple approaches to each specific threat. NAGI's mission of deterrence, reassurance, and attrition looks to disrupt and dismantle drug trafficking organizations while addressing those who are addicted and those affected. Through community training sessions and coordination of tribal resources, the deterrence and reassurance portions of the mission focus on prevention and treatment. Many of our tribal communities have created tribal action plans to work toward a comprehensive prevention and treatment programs for alcoholism and other substance abuse. We face many of the same obstacles as communities across the country: a shortage of resources and inpatient treatment centers. There are key professions or callings within every culture where the role is to serve, to heal, and bring community together. Whether it be teachers, doctors, nurses, social workers, police officers, or behavioral health specialists, communities struggle to fill these roles and the demand for their services never seems to lessen. As stated, the entire country faces a shortage in critical helping professions, and Native communities are no different. The effects are only exacerbated because of many of the inequities and unique challenges Native communities already face. It is no doubt a difficult road to continue to serve and to heal others when dealing with the devastation addiction brings. As entire communities, we need to step up and work together to serve, to heal, and connect all of us. We also need to be sure to appreciate those who put in the work every day. In addition to the shortfall in human resources, we are also lacking structural resources for inpatient treatment. For inpatient treatment that does exist, many fail to incorporate Native cultures into the healing process. We learned in analyzing our AODA treatment data that our people are more successful in treatment when cultural healing is incorporated, and we must translate what we have learned to this epidemic. To treat the person without addressing the underlying trauma, mental health, and trigger issues leading to addiction is an investment in failure. I am pleased to say Wisconsin Tribal Nations, through the Great Lakes Intertribal Council, are pursuing the development of an inpatient adolescent treatment facility. We thank the state of Wisconsin for its support and contribution to this endeavor in the last biennium budget. A feasibility study was completed, which gets us one step toward our goal of offering a comprehensive approach to treatment for addiction. In our tribal communities in the state of Wisconsin and throughout the country, people are losing their battle with addiction while we struggle to find the resources to help them. I call on this team of tribal nations and the state of Wisconsin to continue to fight against addiction together by assessing our shared data and aggressively procuring federal dollars and allocating them wisely. I extend prayers of strength, love, and compassion to every home substance abuse touches. As I mentioned earlier, access to safe and adequate affordable housing is one of the critical components to a comprehensive drug treatment approach. Housing is a constant issue in our tribal communities. Our tribal citizens have lower household incomes and higher poverty rates than other Wisconsin residents. As such, our communities struggle with increased incidences of homelessness, underhousing, and subpar housing. Housing issues do not look the same in all communities. In many of our communities, it doesn't mean sleeping in the streets, but means drifting from house to house or overcrowding a familial home. Our communities need additional resources for homelessness and underhoused individuals. Our communities also need better access to adequate and affordable housing. Having a sense of stability in the home is important for individuals, families, and community. A study conducted by the National Association of Realtors in December of 2016 found home ownership resulted in increased housing stability. The study found that home ownership uniquely invests a homeowner in a set location and therefore positively impacts a multitude of social factors. Children of homeowners have higher education achievement, lower dropout rates, and increased likelihood their parents will teach them financial responsibility through home ownership and maintenance. Individuals and families benefit from home ownership. As a result, it results in better maintained properties, which in turn leads to better physical and mental health, including higher reports of self-confidence and satisfaction. The need for public assistance is reduced as homeowners have the advantage of using the home equity lines to help pay other debts. Finally, the community benefits from more home ownership as it fosters more connectivity and increases involvement in local politics and volunteer organizations. Both property and violent crime rates are reduced based on stronger community investment. While I acknowledge the majority of tribal housing resources are provided through federal government, there is still work to be done in Wisconsin through grant offerings and other initiatives to make housing development more affordable. Specifically, we need increased resources for homelessness, home ownership initiatives, and green building, which right now is prohibitively expensive. I'm asking the state to help us provide homes for our families, which leads to my final two topics, our women and our children, the heart of the home, and our future legacy. Missing and murdered Indigenous women and the threat to Indian Child Welfare Act working its way through the Fifth Circuit Federal Court are two issues specific to Native communities of national importance. Missing and murdered Indigenous women is devastating Native communities across North America. According to the research funded by the Department of Justice, Native women living on tribal lands are murdered at an extremely high rate, in some communities more than 10 times the national average. In many communities, jurisdictional and enforcement gaps play a large role in allowing these violent crimes to go unpunished. In Wisconsin, as a public law 280 state, state criminal law applies to our reservations with the exception of Menominee Nation. Therefore, we do not share as many of the same jurisdictional challenges. However, we still see higher incidences of violence against women in our tribal communities. We must do better. We must take care of our life givers. Just as Mother Earth provides everything we need to survive and thrive, our mothers, grandmothers, aunties, sisters, and daughters provide the love, nourishment, and protection our children and families need to survive and thrive. That being said, life giver or mother is just one of the many critical roles women in our have in our communities. Beyond families, women are critical to our economy and workforce. Violence against women not only destroys family, it means time away from work and the development of related health issues, such as substance abuse. Further, a threat against our women is a threat against our children and future generations. According to the Family Violence Prevention Fund, children who have been exposed to family violence suffer symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, such as bedwetting or nightmares, and are at greater risk than their peers of having allergies, asthma, gastrointestinal problems, headaches, and flu. Women who are exposed to physical abuse as a child are more likely to be victims of physical abuse as adults. while men who are exposed to physical abuse as a child are more likely to perpetrate physical abuse as adults. The Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women USA group is working to combat violence against Indigenous women by educating women of the threats they face and teaching them self-defense. I call on the state of Wisconsin to work with our tribal communities to do better for our life givers. This can be done through increased funding for women's programs, included but not limited to programming for identifying sex trafficking, teaching defense, providing trauma-informed care, and housing and transportation for domestic abuse victims. This discussion of working to protect our Native women naturally transitions to my last topic, the protection of our children and families for the future of our Native nations and our traditional cultures. The Indian Child Welfare Act, commonly known as ICWA, is currently under attack in the United States Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, where it is alleged to be unconstitutional. The law was passed in 1978 and aimed at counteracting generations of policies that separated Native American children from their community. A finding that ICWA is unconstitutional would have far-reaching implications on Native American children and families. An unconstitutional decision could also have sweeping consequences over all Indian law that governs the relationship between the tribal government and the federal government. Today, I thank the state of Wisconsin for standing with Native children and families. In 2009, the state adopted the Wisconsin Indian Child Welfare Act to clarify the federal law and improve compliance in Wisconsin. In addition, Wisconsin has stood with Indian Country in support of ICWA in its amicus brief submitted to the Fifth Circuit. Again, Yawanko, please continue to stand with us in defending Indian Child Welfare Act. In closing, Mr. Speaker, Mr. President, members of the legislature, it has been my honor to address you today to my fellow tribal leaders of the tribal nations, Yawanko, for the opportunity to speak on our behalf. Today I have discussed areas where collaboration between the state and our tribal nations can and will make positive changes. I call on this team to continue doing what it does best, building bridges that bring us together to make life in Wisconsin and within our tribal nations better. Some say that old ways don't open new doors, yet our old ways have taught us who we are, all of us. We all have a rich tradition and heritage, and our ancestors stand behind us. As Native people, it is because of our traditional ways that perseverance is ingrained in our souls and survival flows through our blood. We must all work to embrace our ways, old and new, being mindful of the past and hopeful for the future. It is only then will we be able to foster better communication and understanding across the aisle, across the state, and across our communities. We have lived amongst each other for generations, and we still work to understand one another. Through continued collaboration and trust building, it is possible that our future generations won't be plagued by the same problems we face today. Our governments are more similar than we think. We each want what is best for our people. Better schools, better homes, better health care, better economies, a better future. We are better when we stand together. I have a final call to this team. May we continue to work toward a shared vision and goals. May we continue to move the state of Wisconsin forward together. May we keep a good mind, a good heart, and a strong fire when faced with challenges along the way. Nurture the fire within yourself. Encourage the fire within all others. Yawanko Ukali Swanis Liohawk.